Okay, good morning, everyone. We're continuing the second half of Rav Friedland's Shmooze on the idea of Sukkah being the mitzvah kala. We've discussed the first half, how if you're doing actions that are normal actions that have to be done in order to live, in order to elevate them to the status of a mitzvah, you have to be thinking that you're doing it for the purpose of what Hashem intended them for. And the non-Jews of the world throughout their lives never thought that way and wouldn't get a reward for it. So now we come to that second half of mitzvahs, where something that's actually a mitzvah. And all you really have to do is do it. And now the non-Jews are asking for a mitzvah like that as well. And Hashem said, I'll give you the mitzvah sukkah, which is an easy mitzvah that does not have a chesaron kis. So now we're going to get into that. We're in the bottom of page Shin Yud Tes, which is on the lower left-hand side of these pages that are stapled together, Shin Yud Tes, the section that says Mitzvah She'ein Bo Chesaron and Kis Kima Mitzvah De Kabbalah L'Shem Nesina, fulfilling a mitzvah through a receiving for the sake of giving. We'll see what that means. Sha'alnu Ma Ha'inyin She'Hashem Yisbarach Nosan L'Umas Davka Mitzvah Sukkah She'ein Bo Chesaron and Kis L'Vikuach Bein Umas Olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We asked the question regarding the point where Hashem gave the non-Jews of the world specifically the mitzvah sukkah, and it does not have a soron kis, a lack of money. How does this enter the discussion between the non-Jews and Kodesh Baruch Hu? Where does that fit in? So now he's going to spend a paragraph or two explaining on a different level what the concept of soron kis means. Quote, Ein ba soron kis, this concept of there is no chesaron, deficiency in the pocket. Kipshuto, the simple meaning is, hainu mitzvah she'em bahot sa'os kidei l'kayim as a mitzvah. The simple meaning is there aren't expenses required in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Amnam hezber nosav yesh l'kach, but there's an extra, additional explanation which falls in line with this. The whole expression is a weird expression. Isn't there a simpler way in Hebrew to say that it's an inexpensive mitzvah? You know, what's this idea of ein ba? It's like a double negative. Ein ba, there isn't in it a chesaron, a deficiency of the pocket. You know, just say it's not expensive. What do you mean? There's no deficiency of the pocket. It's a weird expression. Just say, you know, it doesn't cost money. It doesn't cost money. You know. There's easier ways to say such an expression than this double negative. So obviously the Gemara is hinting to something deeper than this. So he says, what's the concept? He says it's like this. He says, kis. What's a kis? What's a pocket? Hubeis kibul. It's a receptacle. Shemakabel es kol ma shemachnisim bo. That receives everything you put into it. That's the concept of a kis. Lufisa Yavur, and according to that, it could be explained. Let's say the opposite. Let's say Yesh Bachasaran Kis. Yesh Bachasaran Kis. There is a deficiency in the pocketbook. What does that mean? The Hainu, not just that you're taking money out to spend, but the Hainu Shechasar Bahakis, that we're missing the pocket. We're missing the receptacle. Ein Ba Kli Kibul. There's no receptacle. Klomar, what does that mean to say? B'mitzvah zu ein klal inyan shel kabbalah. In this mitzvah, there's no concept of receiving anything on the part of the doer the mitzvah. V'kula nesinei, and it's all giving on the part of the one doing the mitzvah. In other words, yesh b'chaser and kisis, there is no receptacle. And so to speak, the Jew doesn't really get anything out of the mitzvah in a overt fashion. We'll see, he'll explain this, so I'll be very clear in a minute. V'ilu ein bo chesaron kis, if we say there is no deficiency in the pocket, v'yuro it means shelo chaser b'kis, the pocketbook is not missing. Hakis nimtza, the pocketbook is there. Yesh b'mitzvah zu, next page, kli kibul. There is a receptacle to this mitzvah. Dahainu mean to say, sheyesh b'mitzvah inin shel kabbalah. That when you do this mitzvah, you are receiving something from this. So now, when we say b'mitzvah sukkah ein b'chaser kis, when we say the mitzvah sukkah, there's no There's nothing missing of the pocketbook. There is a pocketbook. Lo chaser ba'kis, the pocket isn't missing. Why? Ki yesh b'mitzvah sukha sha'ara mekabel. You have in the mitzvah sukha where the person is on the receiving end of doing the mitzvah. What's that? Hu yoshein, he's sleeping. Hu ochel v'shoseh, he's eating and drinking. Hu b'kabala zu miskayem es ha-mitzvah. And with this receiving, he fulfills the mitzvah. In other words, he does the mitzvah by getting something, a personal benefit out of doing the mitzvah. I mean, what is, you know, it's not like you gave $1,000 at tzedakah and you don't get nothing but a tax receipt, which doesn't figure in Hashem's world. Okay. As he'll give another example of this, but here you are benefiting, direct benefit from this mitzvah. You are enjoying yourself in the sukkah. What are you already doing? What are you doing when you're doing this mitzvah already? What are you doing? You're sleeping. Oh, that's a good mitzvah. That's a nice mitzvah. Tonight you're going to sleep in your bedroom. How are you going to get a mitzvah if you sleep in your bedroom tonight? You say Shema. You have to have kavona. You have to have kavona. I'm sleeping in order to have koyach to get up tomorrow. Hopefully the Shema does that for you. And only then does that sleeping, which is a mundane thing, which is like we said, something you have to do, then only then can it become a mitzvah. All of a sudden, tomorrow night, when you go into the sukkah, you don't have to have any kavanah. Because I'm doing a mitzvah. And sleep is a geshmaka thing. It's not like I have to work hard. You're sleeping, and by sleeping in the sukkah, I'm getting a mitzvah. Tonight, you're going to eat supper. How do you accomplish the mitzvah of when you're eating supper? You have to have kavanah. But tomorrow night, you don't have to have any kavanah. You're just eating and enjoying. So it's a mitzvah where you are the beneficiary of the mitzvah itself.
You still have to say the bracha.
The bracha is only rabbinic to keep you focused on what you're doing. That's all. Just to keep you focused that you are doing a mitzvah. Remember that there's that additional concept of the kavana of the mitzvah. But the mitzvah will be done regardless. If you make the bracha or not, the mitzvah is done. Mitzvah is done, just like he said before. When you're doing a mitzvah, once you do it, it's done. Okay, it's better that it has kavana, but you did do a mitzvah. So, the fact that I go in the sukkah, I mean, generally speaking, and remember, in Eretz Yisrael, the weather's nice. You gotta remember, we're not supposed to be living here. So when we're doing the mitzvah here, it's second rate. Although this year might be nice, but you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's a pleasure. It's just a pleasure to be in a sukkah. It's geshmak, it's wonderful, it's unbelievable. So the mitzvah has a base kibul. It has a receptacle, it has a kis. So there's no lacking of the kis. The kis is there. Okay, we'll give another example to maybe clarify this further. Dug malakach, let's give another example. The korban ola, let's go to the korban ola. What do we know about the korban ola? A person spends, I don't know how much money on an animal, he gives it to the kohen, and what happens to it? It gets completely burnt. Okay, so now, what do you get out of that mitzvah? Besides you spent all the money on it, do you even get a piece of flesh? You don't get a piece of flesh, yeah? Okay, how about a korban shlomim? A peace offering? Sure you do. You get a good chunk of the meat. Huh? I spent money, okay. But I walk away with a side of beef, yeah, and it's enjoyable to have a nice barbecue in your shalom, right? So there's a difference. One korban has a chasaron kis; there is no pocket, and the other one does not have a chasaron kis. Even though you're spending money, you see, and that's very interesting Rashi now. By the korban oil namor tzav es arn ves bun of lemor. Parshas Tzav, command Aaron and his children, Lamor, saying, Zois Teres Oilu. This is the laws of the Oilu. So Rashi there says, a famous Rashi, Pirush Rashi, Ein Tzav, when we use the expression Tzav, Eloshen Ziruz, it's an expression of Ziruz, like warning, and you have to be extra careful. Miyad immediately Doris, now and for all generations. Only by the Korban Oilu does it say the expression of Tzav. as if to say, you gotta really be careful about this mitzvah. So the question is why? So Amar Rav Shimon, b'yaser tzarcha kasav lazaris b'malkam sheish b'chasar in kis. The Torah has to be more careful to give a warning in a place where there is chasar in kis. When there's a chasar in kis, you have to be careful. Uba oila yesh chasar in kis. And by an oila there's a chasar in kis, shekula kol ilet, it's all burnt. It's all burnt. That's a chasar in kis. Now, if you look, go with the simple pshat. What's a simple mean chasar in kis? There's a loss of money. Okay, whatever. A cow costs $500. I lost $500. Wait a minute. Korban Shlomo doesn't have a loss of money? Okay, you're going to get some of the beef, but most of it you don't get. Kohanim get. Hashem, you burn a lot. Still costs you $500. I don't know. It's a pretty expensive barbecue. You know, you want a piece of meat, doesn't cost you $500. Right? So it's not a chasar. Okay, less of a chasar case. One's $500. The other one is net $300. Is that not a chasar in kis? Doesn't cost money? It also costs money. We're going to start bickering between if it all gets burnt or most of it gets burnt. It's a chasar in kis. If you're going to look the pashut pshat, the simple meaning of chasar in kis is to pay money, you're paying money for both. So obviously we have to come on to the deeper pshat of what chasar in kis is. And that's what he's saying as we continue. Ha-havdol bein korban oil and korban shlomim. The difference between the korban oil and the korban shlomim is that the oila shakula kriva, that the oila that's completely brought, kolal agav mizbech, is burnt on the mizbech, ain't but kiss, there's no pocket, ain't but kavod, there's no receptacle, you don't get anything. Kol kiyah mitzvah's carbon oila, he had a sinah carbon kula kol Hashem. The whole fulfillment of the mitzvah of a carbon oila is by giving the entire carbon to Hashem. Hashem gets it all. What do I get out of this mitzvah on a simple mundane level? Nothing. It's truly $500 out of pocket. I get nothing out of it. Right? I'll came back Ravasa. So when you bring it, yesh boch a certain kiss. There is a lack of the pocket. There is no pocket there. I don't walk away with something in my hand. Bram korban shlomim, but a shlomim ain't boch a certain kiss. There is no chisaron kiss. Yesh boch kabal is a receptacle. V'kiyah mitzvah a korban he. And how do you fulfill the mitzvah? Part and parcel of fulfilling the mitzvah is Aydesh Oda Mikabal as a korban. The person gets back part of the korban. For Oichel as a boss, and he eats the meat, Kederach in the way, Kohanim Oichelim Baal Miskaprim, just like by other korbanas, where the Kohen eats it and the owner gets forgiven, let's say korban chatas, where the Kohen gets to eat. Here, the Eid gets to eat. So he gets something, part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah korban shlom is you have to eat the meat and you have to enjoy that meat. That's your kibble. That's your pocket. That's your receptacle. Milvad shaha adam mekabel as a baser mei korban va'ochlam. Right? Besides that the person receives the meat and eats it. V'rakei murim nektar gam mizbech. And some of the innards that you can't keep, some of the fats have to be burnt. But gam etzem kiyam a mitzvah. But the part, the essence of the fulfilling of the mitzvah, it's through the receiving. Part of the fulfillment of this mitzvah, when you bring a korban shlomim, it's not, I did the mitzvah by giving the korban to the kohen. Oh, now I did the mitzvah. The mitzvah's finished. Okay, and the kohen will do what he does with it to finish the mitzvah. No, kohen now, after he shechts it, and after he does cuts and this, he gives you a big chunk of the meat. And now only when you eat that meat, is that part of the mitzvah completed? The fullness of the mitzvah is completed by you enjoying and eating the meat. So there is now a receptacle. So there's no chesaron kis. Even though, so this is what it means. Even though you spend $500 and it was a big expense on the one hand, even though it's a korban shlomim, but it's not chesaron kis insofar as that there is still a pocket. There's still a receiving. Part of this mitzvah is my enjoyment. It's part of the mitzvah. So this becomes the definition now of a mitzvah she'ein bo chesar and kis. That part and parcel of the mitzvah is your enjoyment of the mitzvah. Right? So that's why, you see, the Kohanim had to be warned more by a korban oila, because they had to be taught about this and to be careful about it, because the Kohen's role is to get the person who brings the korban to get closer to Hashem. And it's a, you have to have a lot more care to get a person close to Hashem when they get nothing out of the mitzvah. Right? Guy's coming, he brings the korban, what does he get out of it? Nothing. So the kohen has to, you know, figure what are the proper words to say to him and say, you gotta realize what an oila is and, you know, and oila is for bad thoughts and you see, get all burnt up and you have to be dead. They have to give a whole shmooz. For a guy to walk away and feel he got something out of this mitzvah. You know, that's why, you know, people give tzedakah. Yeshbach a certain kiss. When you give tzedakah, stam, can you give him, here's $10. What do you get back? Nothing. I don't get anything. That's why it's a hard mitzvah for many people. If you're going to give me a tax receipt worth twice the value of what I give, you can make shtick. So it winds up that I profit on it. You know, there was somebody who wanted to had some jewelry. He wanted to give it to one Jewish organization that will remain nameless. And the Jewish organization was very stickler for all the details, and they didn't know the laws of the tax laws for charitable giving. They refused to accept this person wanted to give them a diamond bracelet worth, cost $1,500. They would not receive it because, well, you know, the government, blah, blah, blah. Another place said, we'll be happy to give you a $6,000 tax receipt for it because that is the real value. The guy got it, wholesale. But the retail is $6,000. Place, there's no problem. And the guy got a $6,000 tax receipt for something he spent $1,500. He made net out of pocket $1,500 by giving the $1,500 thing. Okay? So that, there's ein bo chasar kis. But that's not typical. That's not usual. And, usually you get $1,500, you lose $1,500. Finished. You don't get anything. You could say, the nice feeling, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you know, and that's not part of the mitzvah isn't getting anything of tzedakah. You're not supposed to get anything, you give. So you have certain mitzvahs that is just the giving. That's the way the mitzvah is done. And some mitzvahs is the receiving is part of the mitzvah. So, sukkah, the receiving is part of the mitzvah. Now, what makes that so important, we will now see in the next paragraph. But now that we've defined our terms, I have a very unique way of hearing what chasar and kis means. There's mitzvahs that you have to enjoy it for it to be part of the mitzvah, or some mitzvahs you don't enjoy. So now, we plug in the next part. The next part, next subsection in Shin Chav, is Avodas Akumai de Precious Me'olam Hazeh, Mitzvah Sheish B'Chasar and Kis. The service of the non-Jews of this world, the holy non-Jews, is through abstaining and separating from this world, and their mitzvahs are only understood as chasar and kis mitzvahs. Akum, Gemara says, Akum nodrim v'nodvim oilus of olo shlomim. Non-Jews, when they give korbanos in the base of Mikdash, they can give by vowing to give an ola, but not a shlomim. You can accept, non-Jews can bring korbanos in the base of Mikdash, but the only kinds we accept are oilos, burnt offerings, and not shlomim, and not the peace offerings. V'imnoder shlomim, and he says, I want to give a shlomim, ma'akrivin osa olos, you give it as an ola. We'll see why. Ki kavana sohais, shishil Hashem olos. Because even if he said shlomim, he meant ola. What does that mean? So he explains. Aku mevin she'ef shalavras Hashem rak bo'evin she'esh bo'chasar and kis. When a non-Jew, what's his thinking of how to serve Hashem? He thinks the only way to serve Hashem is only in the way where there's a chasar and kis. Only in the way where you get nothing out of it. Aidei mitzvah she'ikulu nesinu l'shamayim. Through a mitzvah which is totally the giving to heaven. O kagon precious me'olam hazeh, or separating totally from this world. Shein nehena l'tzarchei ha'aseh me'olam hazeh, that he doesn't get any pleasure out of this world when he is being spiritual. In other words, the non-Jew always thinks that religion is a sacrifice. Religion is a sacrifice. You have to give up to be part, to have a religion. Right? So the old-fashioned the Christian way of Sunday was you do nothing. You just do nothing. You sit and do nothing. You go to church, and you have Sunday dinner, but that's it. But you don't do anything. You're not meant to have a good time. Right? The holiest person doesn't enjoy intimacy, right? If you want to really be a chashuva Christian, you go be a monk, go to a monastery. make a vow of poverty. Now you're really talking. Now you're hitting the big time. Now you're mamash a tzaddik. Right? You mamash, you, whatever you have, you're not going to get. You're going to give everything away. You're going to give the shirt off your back. Right? You're going to do everything, and you get nothing. And that is mamash a tzaddik. He does everything and gets nothing in return. That is the highest form. And the highest form is you mamash, you die. You die for your people. And you atone for all their sins by dying. The whole non-Jewish idea is give. But you can't take anything. You can't be spiritual by taking. That's the Goyish concept. Okay? Aval ein masugel lahavin, he can't understand. He doesn't have that ability to understand. Sheish derech nosefes b'avodas Hashem. There is another way of serving Hashem. Adei tzorcha elam hazeh b'asiyasim kavana rilu tzorcha kavah. By doing that second part that Litzada was talking about. That by being engaged in using this world, if your kavana is for a higher purpose. Or if, let's say, that pleasure is part of the Avodas Hashem, like Sukkah or whatever, where the mitzvah has a base kibul. But either way, they don't see how you're supposed to benefit when you're being spiritual. You're not supposed to be on the receiving end. Or when I'm eating breakfast, that's not a spiritual thing. And the Goyish mindset, that's not a spiritual thing, eating breakfast. It's not part of their avoida. So he says, "Zeh ena b'hasagas zakum." A goy can't understand it. A goy shekup can't get that idea. L'chein akum misnade v'olav. That's why an akum, a non-Jew, can give an oila, because derech avoda zehi b'hasagas shemevi oila umatyas kol Hashem. He understands the service of that according to his understandings. He brings an oila, gets totally burnt to Hashem. Avleidim misnade shlomim. He won't give a shlomim. Because shlomim uvad akteres emurim mizbech. Besides burning certain parts on the mizbech, yesh pogam achilus balin kederech shakohanim ochlim balin miskaprim. Because there's a concept of the owner eating it, just like a coin eats from an animal, and the owner can be forgiven. Etzem mas achila hanom itzerchol mazem meidachi gam avodes kodshim. The actual, the essential action of eating and having pleasure from this world is part of the service of bringing a korban shlomim. So eating kochim and enjoying the barbecue is not in the realm of a goyish understanding. To be able to turn around, to change, to use the needs of this world through eating, simple physical eating, to elevate it for service Hashem. As he says in the brackets, it's easier to fast on Yom Kippur than to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, Lishma. Right? If you're fasting on Yom Kippur, what are you fasting for? Fasting because of a mitzvah. Why are you eating on Erev Yom Kippur? Because it's a mitzvah. It's not the same. Right? That's what we said. One of the reasons you eat on Erev Yom Kippur is to be mechaper for all the eating the whole year long that wasn't L'Shem Shemayim. Right? To eat L'Shem Shemayim is much harder. Right? Once you got the plate in front of you, to be totally focused as a human being serving Hashem with all that good food in front of you and not to turn into an animal is not an easy avoida. It's not an easy avoida. So a goy understands that. So he says, better don't eat. Better don't eat. You want to be spiritual, you don't eat. Finished. But as we've said many times, the higher level is to eat L'Shem Shemayim. That is a much higher level. Why? Because when you're not eating, all you're doing is you're touching the spiritual world. That's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. But the physical world you've ignored. And ultimately, that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem does not want you to ignore the physical world. He wants to elevate the physical world. So what is a higher level? Higher level is eating. If you eat L'Shem Shemayim, not like a chaser. If you eat L'Shem Shemayim, mamish, every bite is thought through. And you're supposed to enjoy. You're supposed to say, oh, it tastes very good. But I don't need three pieces of steak. You know, I brought a korban shlomim. I don't have to have, you know, four ribs. You know, whatever. I can have one is enough. You know, and I thank Hashem and I think of Hashem and he so wonderfully made the cow and all the machshavas he should have and he's so kind to me and you know. So then, if you eat that in a measured way, the way the Rambam says you should eat, that's a much higher level than fasting. So the goy can't get that. Avoidus akum hi al yidei precious melam hazeh. The non-Jew thinks that the service to God is by separating from this world. Shekula nesina l'shamayim, that it is all a giving to heaven. Right? That's the fundamental difference. We mentioned this before, between Judaism, Christianity, and the Muslim religion. Judaism understands there's two realms, the heavenly realm and the physical realm, and they both are equally important in terms of you have to be with Hashem in both of those realms. And the physical realm is meant to be enjoyed, but we take both worlds and we combine both worlds at the same time. That's the whole idea of both Yismuchu Hashamayim V'Sagel Haaretz. The heavens should rejoice and the earth down here is happy. You want both worlds to be engaged at the same time. So when I'm eating a steak, both worlds are engaged at the same time. If I'm eating properly, we're engaging both worlds at the same time. And Olam Haba, according to most opinions, will have a body and a soul in Olam Haba. And there'll be a physical, there is a merger of heaven and earth. And Hashem is in this world and wants to be in this world and is looking forward to us bringing him into this world. And really there shouldn't be any barrier between the spiritual world and the physical world. They should meld so beautifully together. The Christians distorted it one way and the Muslims distorted it the other way. The Christians said, well, heaven is very holy, so really this world should be like heaven. It should all be heaven. You should not enjoy this world. You should not enjoy this world. You know, and that is the best one. You have heaven, and that's the top, and this world is bad. It's bad, this world. It's sin. And really a holy person would live a heavenly existence and live with nothing. The barest essentials. Well, the Muslim says this world is physical and the next world is also begun's physical with all the virgins you'll get to have fun over there. So they took the whole physicality of this world and said, and you know what, what's up there is better than here, that's all. Here is one steak, up there is 50 steaks. Here is how many women they have, there you have many more women. Right? So in other words, they take this world as the physical and the Olam Haba is more physical. It's unlimited physical. So each one's a distorted view of reality. Right? While Yiddishkeit is just a spiritual, there's a physical, they both are important, they both have their unique aspects, and they're both meant to be used and to be merged. Right? So that's why he's saying the Goyish Cup, he's gonna say one end, we'll get to the other end later. So the non-Jew figures to be spiritual, you gotta have nothing in this world. Right? So that's their mistake. Hakuzri, Shoelas HaChaver, in the discussion, the Kuzri, where the King Khazar is asking the Chaver, the Jewish representative, he says, Lama goyim hem yoser prushim el mazem Yisrael? Why are the non-Jews much more separated from the pleasures of this world, than Jews? In other words, the spiritual ones. Obviously, most non-Jews aren't spiritual at all. But the spiritual ones, why are they holier than the Jews? Why is the Pope holier than the chief rabbi? Right? Isn't he holier? Right? He doesn't have a bank account. The Pope does not have a bank account. But the chief rabbi could have a bank account. Right? So the Pope officially never was with anybody. Right? So when the rabbi, look at the rabbi. He's got 15 kids. He can't stay away from his wife. Right? I'm just saying, that's what they say. Right? So obviously, the Pope is holier. Right, so that's what the Khazar, King Khazar, is asking. I don't get it. If it's such a spiritual religion, how come the holy goyim are holier than the Jews? Right? So v'achaver meishiv, and the chaver answers, HaTorah lo havido son of Avodas HaPrishis. The Torah doesn't mandate us to serve him, Hashem, exclusively through separating from this world. HaTorah nitna l'odam kelim, Hashem has given man tools. Through the tools of this physical world, you are meant to get close to Hashem. And it's just as possible for a person to get close to Hashem when he's happy. If you fulfill it properly, that's part of the Avodas Hashem. Just like you said, there's a time to serve Hashem by fasting also. There is a time. And 5-6 times a year we fast. So that we don't make a mistake and think that the physical world is everything. There is a reason to fast from time to time, but not 365 days a year. Not Lent. We go a whole month fasting. Torah never would do such a thing. Okay, you have a fast here, a fast there, a fast here, a fast there. Okay, during the course of the year, you need a few reminders that you're not a behemoth. Because the Torah does want you every day to eat and does want you. So you have to know once in a while, we don't eat for a day. To remember, don't make a mistake, and to, you know, that you are a spiritual entity. So from time to time, yes, but the majority is you're supposed to be eating breakfast and lunch and supper every day, as a holy person does. These understandings of service Hashem can only come, this idea that you can be holy while using this world, only through a commandment from Hashem. Only God's intellect could teach us and show us and require from us that a spiritual person does use this world. But the non-Jew who operates according to his intelligence, who maybe in Shavuot Hashem mitztam tzemes rakedei prishus me'olam hazeh shikul nesim l'shamayim. The non-Jew thinks that the service of Hashem can only be defined as separating from this world, and it's totally giving to God. In other words, there's it's the only way to get yourself closer to God. He doesn't realize that there's other ways and possibilities to get close to Hashem, even by using this world. In other words, the non-Jew looks like this. The non-Jew understands a schizophrenic relationship with God. And that's what people do. In other words, you know, when I'm eating breakfast, there's no God here. When I'm enjoying this world, there is no God. When I want to be with God, I have to be out of this world. To be with God, God is so out of this world. How can I be with Him unless I'm out of this world? And truth is, truth from a pure base logic point of view, it makes a lot of sense. God is not physical. He's not in this world, right? He's over there. That's what their thinking is. He's over there. I got to do what I can to get over there and not be in here. So if eating breakfast is not getting me there. Yeah, okay, they say their grace. You have to be Yoyis Zayin. You know, you have to thank God for what you have. Right? But that's, you know, stomp. Took it from the Yidden. Take from Yidden. They don't know what they're doing. Right? But the real thing is a real holy person is not going to eat breakfast. Don't tell me you're a holy person eating breakfast. Get out of here. So that's their understanding. While Torah says, no. There's a time to separate. There is a time. Tefillah, you're separated. But remember, tefillah is for the point to come back to this world, to understand what Hashem is, so that when you come back in this world and to have God manifest in this world, and that is the ultimate avoid of a yid, is to be in this world. The ultimate avoid is to have simcha. The ultimate avoid, when is, of all the regalim, Sukkos is the main yontif. It all brings you to Sukkos. Pesach and Shavuos, remember the last yontif is the goal. Shosh regalim is Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Not Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos. That's not the goal. So Pesach's a great start. Listen, we're not minimizing any one of the Yom Tovim, Chas v'Shalom. You have to be free, your mamash have to be free from Paro, and you have to have a Torah. But at the end of the day, God says, so what is it getting us to? It's getting us to Sukkos. Now, what are you on Sukkos? Look, your silos are full. Full to the brim. Full to the brim. You know how much oil mahaza you have now? You have so much oil mahaza. Now you enjoy it. Now it's Mansim Chasen. Because you really have this world. Hopefully, though, after you had Yitzias Hashem and you have Torah, and you've been developing with Torah, it'll teach you how to have simcha from all the physical wealth that you have in this world. But the spitz, the highlight, it's mamish, the highlight is every yid knows he's got whatever, $100,000 in the bank right now. And he has to realize that $100,000 in the bank is meant to be done strictly with my avodas Hashem, which allows my enjoying that food. But you understand. Well, the non-Jew can't handle that. He can't handle that. He says, you got all this money, man. I'm going to have fun with all this money. They can't understand you take Hashem into the bedroom. You take Hashem into the restaurant. You take Hashem into the baseball game. They don't get that idea. So that's the critical difference between Jews and non-Jews. Yes, Shelley.
So this is great. One worked in a class that are totally 180 degrees the other way. And one also, I know there's this concept of fasting Mondays and Thursdays, and very religious, spiritual people do it, and I think in that book, All for the Boss,
well, yeah.
did that on a regular basis. Yeah. They had a pair.
Yes.
Yeah. When it got dark, and that was it. So,
no, it was a sardine sandwich. Okay, it's okay.
So we fit into this. And also, I remember the rabbi told us a story about this person who was very spiritual. He was learning, and his wife left a pot of soup and a pot soaking. And he was so into his learning that he ate for dinner the stuff in the soaking pot. I thought it was a wonderful dinner. But really, you should have enjoyed the good soup.
No, but he did. So it's a good question. So how's the guy who eats the pot of liquid in this world? The answer is he's in this world more than anybody's in this world. Because he is on such a level, he is able to enjoy the spiritual sparks that are in the food. That are beyond even the food. Me and you, for us to love Hashem and appreciate his gifts and get close to Hashem, we gotta taste a good soup. Because we're still not so spiritual to go beneath the soup. In other words, there is nitzotzos. There are spiritual sparks residing in a nice steak. And a tzaddik gets even... You have the steak, and the steak has this great hickory flavored taste. And you enjoy that, and you thank Hashem for that. And that's a very nice thing to do. Hashem, thank you for this wonderful taste. You see how much you love me. You give me hickory steak. And I just... Oh, it's just a hug you gave me. Those tzaddikim can go deeper than the hickory steak. They can get into the spiritual sparks that are actually in there that me and you have no idea what they taste like. They're beyond. So he's enjoying the essence of it even more. It's even beyond where taste is. You hear what I'm saying? They are tasting something that we're not even sophisticated enough to understand. They're tasting the electrons. Okay, that's what they're tasting. They're tasting the neutrons. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's even a deeper level. For him, he can enjoy anything. It doesn't have to be prepared with the best flavor. We're weak spiritually. We need a lot more, assistance to be able to enjoy this world. They have such a deeper understanding of this world, or no different than I always would tell the story with the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, that before he died, he didn't even see the walls. He didn't see the roof. He just saw the Hebrew letters.
The beams.
He penetrated through it. He was more intimate with this physical world because he understood the deeper level of the physical world. So that explains that story. In other words, he's not on the lower level of, oh, only if it tastes good do I enjoy it. He enjoys the essence of the life-giving force of the water. That soup, even with soap in it, has water in it. And water is life-giving. And he's so focused spiritually to see the real physical benefits of it that the taste is totally meaningless. It's the liquid water, the H2O, the nitzotzos of H2O, the spiritual core of H2O. He was drinking the Mem Yud Mem. The Mem Yud Mem, the helakite of the letters of the Aleph Beis, he was enjoying in that liquid, which is more physical, really. You hear what I say? You don't need, for example, meat itself really doesn't taste good. Meat per se does not taste good. Right? That's why we only make a shahakal on it. That's why we only make a shahakal. Shahakal is lower level. Borei pre'eis, and that's choshev. Because fruits are spiritually greater things. Right? But what I'm trying to point is, to make meat tasty, you've got to put salt in it. You've got to put something in it. Just go make a piece of meat with nothing. Yuck. No, you take primer with nothing. Remember, every piece of meat is salted to begin with. To eat not kosher meat that's not salted and not anything, it will not be good. You know what? Best example, I remember as a little kid, right? Boiled chicken Friday night. I hated it. You know, and my mother had to make no salt. My father's home was on a no salt diet. You know, ugh, so I would, Baruch Hashem, they at least gave me a bottle of ketchup. I drowned it in ketchup, but I was able to eat it. So what I'm saying, you know, in other words, because why? My palate is so unsophisticated spiritually, if that chicken doesn't have spice on, I can't eat it. The tzaddik, what do you need spices for? The chicken itself is mamish, it's screaming out a Kodesh Baruch Hu from the piece of chicken, salt or no salt. So he's enjoying this world more than we are enjoying this world, because he knows what he's really enjoying. And we're just satisfied with, Hashem understands, most of us are regular people, so okay, so Hashem gave us spices and other things to make it easier for us to relate to it. But a tzaddik doesn't need all that. It's just give me anything. Whatever you give me a piece of wood, I'll eat it and I'll enjoy it. You know, Yule Gibbons, you know, eat the bark of a tree is healthy. He understood there's nitzoitzes in that bark of that tree. I don't have to get, right? The other thing of fasting, that goes back to the other thing is that first of all, they were replacing with other physical pleasures in this world. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman spent his whole day helping Jews. You know, he was in this world more than anybody else. He just wasn't in the eating part of this world. He was raising money for tzedakah and helping people and doing mitzvahs. He was totally engaged in this world with things that were so important. It was not like he was starving himself, but more like we say the story of the Vilna Gaon. When the Vilna Gaon was trying to figure out a Gemara and couldn't understand Pshat in the Gemara, they did not bring him supper. They brought him supper. He didn't look at it. He didn't look at it. Why? Because he was so engrossed in wanting to understand Pshat in the Gemara, he didn't feel hungry. He didn't feel hungry. If you don't feel hungry, why eat? You know, because he's eating everything else in this world. And Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman wasn't a Talmud Chacham like of the caliber of the Vilna Gaon. But what was he doing all day long? Promoting mitzvahs, doing kiruv, doing chesed nonstop. Right? So he was all in this world. What's time to eat? Okay, so at the end of the day, I'm a human being. And if I don't eat, I'll die. So I have a nice sardine and bread sandwich. And he could enjoy Hashem with the sardine. What about Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa with his kav of boxer every day? You know, he has enough. For me, that's enough. If I eat a kav of boxer, I had this mamish kishmak. He could get so much enjoyment out of that kav of boxer that he's enjoying this world immensely. People fasted Monday and Thursday. Again, the idea being, the goal isn't to fast Monday and Thursday. The goal is to eat on Shabbos l'shem shemayim. When I fast, when people fast, it's the goal of the fast is so that should enhance that when I go to the table, I will eat mamish l'shem shemayim. If we eat all day long like chazerim, so how do I develop this l'shem shemayim in my eating? If I spend the day not eating and I become more spiritual and understand what it means to be a spiritual person, then I come down to eat. Right? Then it makes a difference. That's the story with the guy. Just quickly on with this, the guy who said, you know, if you fast 40 days in a row and eat at night, 40 days in a row, you'll be zocha to see Eliyahu Novi. So such a Kabbalah. So this guy fasted 40 days. He didn't see Eliyahu Novi. So he goes to his Rebbe and says, Rebbe, what's going on? I don't remember which Rebbe it was. He goes to his Rebbe and says, 40 days, I didn't see Eliyahu Novi. So what's going on? So he said, I'll tell you a story. So the famous mashal, you know, with the Baal Shem Tov, I don't have time. So with the Baal Shem Tov, when the Baal Shem Tov would do his miracle travelings, you know, he cracked the whip with the horses, and like they'd go miles, like they'd go into different countries, and like whatever, they were flying, whatever was going on when the Baal Shem Tov would do this, right? So he says, what do you think the horses were thinking? The horses are going, they go 100 miles, and they say, hey, we haven't stopped once. The horses think we must be super horses. They're going like 300 miles. They haven't stopped. So what do the horses think? We're mamish malochim. You know, they think they're a malach, right? Finally, after 500 miles, the Baal Shem Gisra has to go. Then what happens? The horses are let loose and they go to eat. At the end of the day, they eat like a horse. Right? They thought they're a malach, but when they ate like a horse. So he says, listen, you know, you fasted every day. That's good. Fasting 40 days is a good thing. But how'd you eat at the end of every day? Did you eat like a horse every day? How are you going to see Eliyahu Novi? You probably ate like a horse every day. You're starving, right? Can you imagine how it is after Yom Kippur, right? I didn't eat a whole day. I was so holy. And now you eat like a chaser to make up for the whole day you didn't eat. No, the whole point is now you're going to eat the way the Rambam says to eat. Chew how many times, Martin? 32 times.
32 times, right.
To chew something 32 times before you swallow it, you got to be a malach to do that. Right? Especially when it's good. Right? But that's the way you're supposed to enjoy this world. So that's what the fasting is meant to do. If you fast on a Monday and Thursday, it gives you the control that when you eat, you really will enjoy it the way Hashem wants you to enjoy it. Okay, so tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we'll close this up and see now where it comes in. Now the Mitzvah Sukkah and the Goyin and Mitzvah Kala, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll wrap it up.